So first of all, congratulations on a week. Do we got one or do we just get Monty? I think both of you guys are on, correct?
Oh, no, I'm here. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. I'm doing amazing. So exciting. I know you guys had a big issue month, about 25K. This month, it looks like I'm looking at issue numbers are on pace to even beat it. What blew me away is Monty sent me a text, and he talked about policies that you guys had ran through illustrations just recently in your system. And it was, you had 76 policies right now, that these are just recent policies that you guys have written, and it's showing me, and you just had two approved for 6,000 each. They're not issued yet, but they're two approved. So you have 12,000 about to get approved, another 12,000 this week. So your paychecks are huge because I'm seeing all this stuff get issued. And then I'm also seeing all the illustrations for upcoming appointments. You actually have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You have 12 issue illustrations you've ran for upcoming appointments. So can you kind of just talk a little bit about you guys, the foundation when you literally were like, because you guys were in the point where you guys were getting leads regularly, and you knew you wanted to get, and this is years ago when everybody was really heavy on leads and you just started to figure out the ERS system. What was the thought process on needing less leads and getting more referrals? Like, what was your thought process? What was the things you were thinking about? And I know I didn't talk to you guys in advance. I got some questions written down. So what were the things that you guys thought about on how to get from being really good at leads, which you were, how to get the referrals, utilize the ERS, get really good at that? Like, what was the moment where you're like, okay, we got to do this now in our business. We got to add this to our business. Do you remember the thoughts?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I do remember, thanks Mike for having us on the call, and thank you for the kind words. First off, we appreciate it. I remember a situation where, you know, I think the conviction is what kind of changed things for us. Of course, we've always wanted to be profitable. We've always wanted to be efficient, and George Mitchell. So yeah, we had a guy who actually. So are you asking us about the IUL? Like,
no, just way back, Ben. George Mitchell. Like, when you were just doing final expense mortgage protection, and you started really hammering the ERS, that was like the moment where, like, you got to be efficient and add the ERS.
So that's when we started ERS, was when Willie Brooks, the guy, died in a house fire. And if we had not done the ERS, that family would have never received the check. They would have never even known that he had a policy because it burned up in the house with him. And so it didn't cost us anything to help that family with the ERS. We did make some and sales in that particular situation, which led us to more sales down the line, even after he passed away. And so we just saw how more profitable we were when we weren't spending $700 a week on leads. And to be honest with you, we found that the ERS, when you cultivate a relationship with someone who's giving you an introduction, it's usually an easier appointment. I would say it's initially hard at first to call an ERS, yes. But after you do it, it becomes easier and easier, and the policies stay on the books. So your persistency and your placement is really good as well.
So efficiency and this situation that happened. So you went and you didn't know this was going to happen. So, and you're leading me off in a little rabbit hole, but that's okay. I just want to talk about it. So you didn't know this was going to happen. So Willie happens, you go to the funeral, people are thrilled. The son was an insurance agent that couldn't figure out how to get his dad to buy a life insurance policy, but you guys did. Own son couldn't sell him life insurance. You guys did. So the family learns about you, learns about living benefits. And since that point, I know you don't have to give the exact number, but you had one lead to start this whole process with this family. How many policies did you, and this is an extreme, guys, but I want you to hear this. How many policies do you think you sold to that family since then?
Well, last time I was really monitoring it, we were up to 35 policies.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny you mentioned this family, because I'm actually going to be following up with Kim again, because I noticed she had some grandkids and one of her daughters just got married. So we're going to be reaching out to her again probably this week to just, you know, follow up, see if you know, they would be interested in getting some information to cover her grandkids. So it'll probably be more, because at this point, I think we would consider her them to be friends now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what's real about what you just said, I have a lot of friends who are financial planners, and they work for some captive companies, and some of I become friends with because I work with them on a weekly and daily basis. And what I find is that everybody that's got a big customer, it's their friend. They turn out to be friends. And I think my grandmother, I joke about this when I used to talk about final expense and mortgage stress. My grandmother told me, marry for money, love comes later. I didn't listen to her. That's why we're about to have our 22nd anniversary in a week. Or is it this week? I better double check. But here's the thing. In business, it just takes as much energy to find and build a relationship with the wealthy client as it is with the poor client. So in business, if you're going to actually build your business around something, build it around people that have money. Because mm-hmm. over time, one think about this, one mortgage protection lead turned into 35 policies with more coming. And that's what you guys done with your entire business. Not that extreme, but it is way more efficient to have a friend of yours refer you to somebody. You just said it. These people become our friends, refer you to something. I remember when you guys used to bring your kids on appointments, you know? Mm-hmm. You have a baby, bring them with. Everybody loves your baby, and you talked about that in the past. The efficiency thing that you guys have done was a positive reinforcement. And it's almost like Pavlov, you know? You had this positive reinforcement where you made this humongous difference in a family by making sure that Willie got life insurance, and then when it burnt up in the house, they still got paid because you guys did the extra step. That's why you started doing this, guys. You started doing this because you cared about people. You started doing the ERS because you saw the value in making sure that you put the client in the most optimal position, not just with life insurance, but to actually get a life insurance check if they have a heart attack, cancer, stroke, or if they die. And in this extreme situation, you guys impacted them to the fullest. What the result from that's been is you guys have become more efficient. And there's a lot of new people on the call. So can we just touch on efficiency for 1 second? I want to tell you to share a story. You were telling me a story about your daughter in the car, and there's all this traffic, and they're asking where people go. How did that conversation go again? Because I don't think not everybody was in that boot camp. I want people to kind of hear that, what like your perception of your children of you guys, because I think this is important.
So this was probably about 6 or 7 months ago. We were riding around in the car with our kids. Our oldest daughter is now 8 and Taylor just turned 3. So the 8-year-old was like, Mommy, why are there so many cars? Why are we going so slow? And I was like, well, Paige, you know, it's 5:15. You know, it's a lot of traffic. You know, most people have, you know, 9-to-5 jobs. And so everybody gets off work at the same time. So that's why there's so much traffic. And she was confused by that because we're not normally in traffic because we don't have 9-to-5 jobs. So her concept of us working is she sees us, you know, meeting with clients. She sees us meeting with clients virtually. She sees us going to people's houses. But she knows that Mommy and Daddy are not, you know, going out all day, coming home in the middle of traffic in that situation. So her concept of that was, you know, she didn't know what that was or understand what was going on and why everybody was working, getting off work at the same time.
So when you told me that, I was like, this is my thought. I was like, this is so cool that you guys get to live a crazy lifestyle, and not a crazy in a bad way, in a good way, that your children have no concept of everybody having to get up in the morning, get ready for school, brush off, the parents are going off to work, kids get home, mom and dad aren't home yet, and then they see the hustle and bustle of their parents. Like, that's a brainwashing process that happens to children at a young age where they think that's life. And an 8-year-old Paige had no idea that that's how normal people live. And what I mean, and is it correct to live that way? Like, is that normal? What we learned in COVID is people didn't like that. They learned that that's not the fact, but now they all have to go back. That's why you're mm-hmm. seeing the great resignation that happened. You're also seeing now everybody that with their new jobs, now they're making them go into the office. Now we have traffic again. A buddy of mine just drove to work for the first time in 3 days in Chicago last week. And he said, traffic's the worst it's ever been because people have actually got away from public transportation. Public transportation is hurting. Why? Because of getting sick on a train or a bus. They'd rather be in their own car and limit the amount of contact. So traffic has got even worse. So your children are seeing you guys as independent people that are your own bosses, which is incredible. And the efficiency on that is incredible. So I want to move forward a little bit. So you guys learned, really, you're really good at bringing the pain. You guys are really good at transition. You're really good at and moving people through the process. Adding these things like, and in the beginning, 2 years ago, you weren't doing very many IULs. I was looking at your numbers over the weekend. You guys really weren't doing it. They were like a little here, a little there. A little more smart UL, a little less IUL. You guys were doing a little more whole life. No real college changing. And I know we did a call in the fourth quarter and you talked about Think and Grow Rich, Katrina, and you talked about the concept. But I've seen your business make this huge swing in the last year to IULs. And I'm trying to, and in a good way, push you guys, not in a bad way. I'm really finding some more in IUL money because I almost think that'll be like this explosion tipping point of income. But here's what I see. What percentage do you think? Now, I've done some numbers here, and my numbers are not. I don't see all of your book of business. I'm only looked at a couple carriers who you write the most with. But I'm seeing the majority of your business switch from, you know, doing meeting a lead for maybe I don't know. First of all, what do you guys spend a week in leads? So you guys are averaging about 10K a week now, plus in sales for the second half of the year. But what is your lead bill a week? Just before I ask the next question, do you have any idea what you're spending a week?
Maybe maybe about $175 to $225 at the most.
Okay, so as you guys have become more efficient and now you have clients, not just customers, what percentage of your business do you think is coming from, you're getting more referrals, not just ERSs. So what percentage of your business do you guys think is coming off of an IULs, savings plans type deals with grandparents, and then going back and talk to clients a year later and adding things because you're adding a lot of stuff. And then how many a week? Because we see your post. And based on your post, what percentage do you think of your business is off of leads versus off all the other things you've learned?
So I would think probably at least half of our business is actually coming from referrals or us going out asking people, what are you doing to save for retirement? What are you doing to save for your kids, your grandkids' future? I would say at least half of it.
So here's what's crazy. What I noticed is about right about that. It's about a 60-40 split, 40 off leads, 60 off. But here's what I've noticed. Have you guys noticed the difference in the application size from the applications that come off a lead versus that don't?
Yes.
Absolutely. About three times more.
So, yeah. So I'm seeing as you guys are doing about $1,500 an app off of leads, just like you said. And I'm seeing you guys between $4,000 and $5,000 when it's off a referral. And it brought me back to Steve had a client once, guys. And I want to share this with you because we haven't shared that story. I want everybody on this call to hear this story. Steve Brooks had a client off a mortgage protection lead, and the guy was beating him up over a $50 app. $50, man, beating him up. And he delivered that policy and he showed the guy tax for retirement. Well, the guy wrote a policy for him and his wife for I think about $150K a year, 7-pay.
Wow.
And that's the same guy he just did the defined benefit plan. And then and that was he's putting in, I think, another $150,000 a year. So, and these are all he's got now a tax, these are he's got some tax free retirement stuff and now tax deferred retirement stuff. And he's spending about $300K a year with Brooks Financial through these products. So most agents in their mind could never fathom getting one lead, selling an application for $50 a month, the guy complaining it was too expensive. And then within a couple of years, now doing another $300,000 in cash through Brooks Financial. Why is that important? Because people look at mortgage protection, what we buy off leads, as an expense. But you guys are learning really quickly that people do not look at savings plans as an expense. They look at it as a savings plan. So why would you limit yourself on what you can save, okay, based on it being an expense? It's the opposite. And as the market volatility happens, and you guys have kind of gotten to almost like this pivotal moment where you're learning everything and you guys are so hungry for knowledge and you're doing a ton of self-development and a ton of reading, that there's this perfect moment. We've been saying for a few years that rates have got to go up eventually. Rates can't stay this low eventually. And then whether we like it or not, the government spent due to COVID way too much money into the economy. And now we've seen inflation for the first time in like 30 years. This has not happened for 30 years. So most people and most money managers don't know how to handle it. But we have two unique products, the IUL and the annuity for old 401ks and IRAs, that are great hedges against inflation. and eliminate that downside. And you guys are just the right time in the right place. So, you know, what? Here's the other thing, and I'm not teaching technique on today's call. I just want people to understand that the energy and the effort you guys put in to this and learning this stuff is now you're actually kind of taking it and transferring it. So I know you showed some stuff that you guys did online, and it's turned into quite a bit of volume. But you have some teammates that are starting to do that. So could you share a little bit of that? I know that you had Nicole do some apps, and it was off some of that stuff you guys have been training. And she was on your call last night. Can you kind of share kind of what happened there and, you know her feedback that she gave?
Yeah, so Nicole is really, really smart, super sharp, and she, you know, everybody knows she has a baby, and, you know, it was kind of difficult for her to, you know, run, you know, do the leads with the baby and her job and stuff. So she started thinking of what are ways that I can go out there and increase my footprint? What are some ways that I can go out there and help people that, you know, maybe was a little bit more creative? So she started doing these really cool web podcasts on Facebook every Wednesday. And so at first when she was doing them, you know, she wasn't getting a ton of traction. But one thing I love that Nicole did is that she stayed consistent. Every single week, she did her podcast at the exact same time every single week. And now she's beginning to get a lot more followers, and she's beginning to get volume from doing this podcast. I think me and Imani typically listen to it too. I think it lasts around 15 minutes or so. But each week, she, you know, talks about a different topic related to, you know, life insurance or financial services and how she can help them. And it's funny because on the last feed, some of the people were actually excited and asking, can't wait to hear what we're going to be learning about next week, Nicole. So now she has a whole following from doing this, and she's getting referrals and business from this, from something that she's spending 15 minutes a week doing, but she's just doing it consistently. Something else I think is really cool is that she got the idea of, you know what, she was trying to think of a way, where can I get myself out in front of a whole lot of people at one time? So she got the idea to go to not just one library, but to go to the head library of each county and then get in touch with them and then have them filter her information down to all the different facilities. So she actually is in the process of she got approved, I think, with one with DeKalb County, where she's going to go in, do a presentation, and they're going to be sending out her information to their entire group of their entire email group, and they're going to advertise for her to come in and speak with people about, you know, different financial products that we can offer. I was telling her, I thought that was really, really smart, because the kind of parent that takes their kid to the library on a regular basis is the same kind of parent that really cares about their kid's future. So children's savings plan is the perfect thing to talk about to them, because that's something that they're going to want to do for their kids. So I think what she's doing is amazing. I think she's going to continue to have tons of success from it.
And numbers-wise, Mike, she hadn't been writing consistently. She had wrote some business in the past. She created a flyer. We did a really simple flyer with our kids on it for tax-free retirement. We posted it, and a lot of our friends, Sphere of Influence and Facebook, we booked appointments. Like, as you saw on our spreadsheet, we've got like a ton of appointments in the making and some that are pending. And so I think we made already, just off of that post, about $30,000 in AP. Mm-hmm. I want to say in the last 2 weeks, we did 13 apps for $30,891. But Nicole, she took initiative. Mm-hmm. She made a very professional flyer. I've even learned some sites that she uses that I may implement. And, you know, she's talented. I mean, you know, grit and determination is usually more important than talent. But when you have all three, I can tell that she's going to continue to write more numbers. She has three more IULs in the making. And I think it's also contagious, because other agents, like I know Kelly, you know, Kelly's been writing consistently, but I know Annette actually went out and wrote some IULs for that as well. So, yeah, super proud of Nicole. She did a great job.
Yeah, and Kelly's like, you know, one of those things where she started off really slow and really struggled, and she's just been – that grit of non giving up. Like, some people give up, and she didn't give up. Like Kelly's been doing this now for, how long ago did Kelly start working with us?
It's been eight or 9 years. Yeah.
Before I had paid. So
yeah. Yeah. Not at least 9 years, 9 to 10 years.
So it's crazy how people stay with us for so long and the consistency and but she was a struggler and she just like didn't give up and she made mistakes and she still makes mistakes and she doesn't care. It's funny. It's very rare someone that, and I don't know how old Kelly is. She's got to be, I'm going to guess in her 60s. But she is late 50s maybe. She is okay with going and trying new stuff. Like when we did our first CPA training 7 months ago in the office, she was the first person who went and got CPAs and made it happen. And she was a like she just made it happen. And it was completely like she set me a couple appointments up, which were totally like off the wall. And we laugh about it now, but it came into it. She got a lot of business out of it and not in a bad way. It was just, we found a fit to make it work. And now she has a relationship where right now it's slower with CPAs. It's like, it's a good time to get in front of them, but she's actually building those relationships. And as the tax season comes to the head and they start seeing their clients, she's going to get a lot more referrals for savings plans and a lot more referrals for annuity rollovers. And she's figured out annuities. I'm super proud of Kelly too, because it's another old person in an organization that needs very, very little leads now because she's able to utilize the system. And right, she's had some $20,000-$30,000 weeks, which is crazy. And I do feel bad for people who really stay laser focused just on leads and they don't expand their horizon, because they really are giving up a ton of freedom. Mm-hmm. It's kind of back to what Paige told you guys. You guys live this crazy life of freedom and you guys work hard. These guys work their butts off for people on the calls, but you guys are knowing you're working for you guys. And the last thing I want to kind of go over, and this is really why I wanted you on the call. I'll never forget last year, you guys had showed me a picture of this old dream board. And we always talk about going out. I gave some people a challenge on Thursday night to go and test drive a car, go look at a house, to have a dream board like you guys did. I remember about 6-7 years ago, you guys building a dream board. But some people might think that's corny, but I think it's actually amazing. And you put stuff on it, and you still have your old dream board. And actually, what I'd like to do is one day I want to have you bring it to boot camp, but so we can, because I want people to see what you put in your vision and what you accomplished. And can you kind of hit on your old dream board and kind of what you put on it, and then kind of what you did and what you got?
So one of the main things, y'all are going to think this is crazy, and I tell everybody this. It's funny. This is a side note. So, you know, I drive Paige to school every morning. And so one of the assistant principals, I know the principals at her school. So one of the assistant principals was like, oh, my God, Miss McDaniel, I love your truck, when we got it last year. And I was like, you need to get a vision board. It was on our vision board. And she was like, I'm going to do that. So that's just a side note. But anyway, that was one of the things on our vision board. But the house that we currently live in, y'all are going to think this is crazy, but it's true. So the house we currently live in, we found this house probably about, a year and a half before we actually moved in. So when you're self-employed, it's a little bit more difficult to buy stuff. So you really have to have things set up properly, financially. You have to look good on paper the correct way. So we had to work on that. But what we used to do was, we had this exact house on our vision board. And I remember, in our old house, we had a really wide hallway, and we had a table, like a kind of like a makeshift like office play area for Paige, and it was a big table there. And Imani took that vision board and set it on the table. So every time we would either come out or come into our bedroom, we had to look at the vision board. It was in our face all the time. And we actually had the house that we currently live in on there. And what you told people to do over the weekend really worked, because we would drive to this house all the time. You know, I do have a real estate license, so I have a lot of bucks. So we would come over and come to the house constantly.
Every day.
We would bring Paige here. She had already picked out her room. I would drive to the school, because we moved over here for the school district. I would drive to the elementary school that I wanted her to go to. People probably were like, who is this psychopath coming to our school? You know, who is this lady? But we would do that all the time. And what it does is it solidifies in your mind, in your subconscious, what it is you're trying to get. And it's funny, when you do that, it's like providence sets in and things start lining themselves up to make what you're going for happen. It makes it possible. Like, it gives you the courage to do things that you might not typically do to get your goal. And then it's like, it almost seems magical almost. It's almost like the heavens open up and things just start happening and lining up for you to hit what your goal is, which kind of happened with us, because with our house, it actually was under contract. And the lady almost, the previous person that tried to buy it almost closed on it, and her financing fell through at the last minute. And then suddenly when we were, all of our paperwork was in order, all of our accounts were in order, the house came back on the market, and we were able to move in and get it. It was to the point to where that lady's mail came here for a few months. It got that close to someone else personally, but this, you know, we had it on our vision board. We looked at it, we focused on it.
I almost feel like we willed it into our house. We literally would come here every single day. Mm-hmm. It was an extra hour drive outside of our hour drive to drive our daughter to private school. But we really liked the house. We really liked the area. And it wasn't easy. And we didn't know how we were going to get it done in the beginning. We just knew what we wanted to get done. And so, like she said, yeah, the universe aligned and started to open up the door. And somehow we, even to the very last day, we didn't watch TV. We read books. If we did listen to something, it was something positive while we were in the closing process.
So this is what I hear. So I love this because this is what I hear. The first thing is I hear is you guys actually make money because you have to have taxable income to qualify for a mortgage. So a lot of people say, oh, I interviewed someone on Friday and I collected stuff. She's like, well, I make $200,000 a year, $250,000 a year. Nice lady. I met her and she's in Chicago. I'm going to actually send her this call. So I'm leaving her name off it. And she said to me, but I said, what do you spend on leads? She said, I spend $1,200 a week. I'm like, so you don't really make that. You have to take the seven, she's spending like $75,000 on leads off the table. And then I said, and then all the driving and all the other things. So she, you're lucky if you make 60, 70 grand. So, you know, if you had a, I actually asked her, if I gave you free leads and I gave you, you know, realize if you had free leads, let's say, I just gave them to you and I gave you a 50% contract, you realize you'd only have to sell 2 apps a week. And you'd make more money than you're making now. You'd make over 100K a year. And, you know, and that's on a tiny contract. You're actually basically working to pay all this money for leads. It makes no sense. Complete waste of time. So for you, I hear taxable income because you qualify for a mortgage. Guys, when you're self-employed, they take away all your write-offs. They take away everything on your taxes. And they look at what your net income is. And that's real. You can't fake it. And so your real taxable income, what you take home, qualified you for a crazy nice house. And that Alexis and a Mercedes. It's real. The other thing that I heard you say is it magically happened. It didn't magically happen. You guys worked your fannies off. You had a goal. You set a goal. You actually knew what it took. You were smart enough to say, we have to show this much income on our taxes. We have to work this hard. We can't fake it. We actually have to really make it happen. And because of that, you guys actually qualified for this stuff. I look at like people like, you know, I pick on Zach because he doesn't work enough. Zach works really hard when he works, but you know, he works 10, 12 hours a week, but he qualified for a lake house, a primary residence. You know, he paid $400K for cash for a house this year. We had a great investment opportunity, maybe at the end of last year, time flies. But you know, it happens because you really make money. So, you know, that's the difference between people who fake it and people who make it. And you guys are ones who make it and nobody can take that away from you. And I actually think you guys should be really proud because I actually thought about this. So we were at this practice company and they had a manager in Texas. And I don't know if you remember, they made a big deal about this guy's house that he bought. And so I actually happened to be in Texas and I went by his house and they made a big deal because the kids were running from the living room to the kitchen and they showed some crazy video. Well, the house was, when I got there, it was like a 2,000 square foot house. It wasn't that nice. You know, you're a real estate agent, so you know how they can fake photos to make stuff look better than it is. And I was blown away. I'm like, this is one of the reasons why I quit, guys. I was like, I saw this and I was like, these people aren't really making money. I'm like, they're faking it. And I like almost had a heart attack. I mean, and your home is nicer than that home by a ton. And you make probably more money than that guy makes by a ton. And he's touted as this top person. And so it's just incredible to see what you guys have accomplished in a few years. And the neat thing is, let's be honest, if you have someone brand new and just gets licensed, you know, based on what your knowledge is now, how long do you think it would take you to train someone from zero to hero with what you've learned now? Not how long it took you guys, because you guys went through the building and the development of the system and the 8-cylinder engine. So you've been through, you know, it took you longer. But right now with the knowledge and the training we offer for someone who plugs in and actually does what we ask them to do and help them do, what do you think that it would take someone to really get to that a couple hundred grand income year?
I personally feel like if someone is willing to like do the reading and do the work, I think they could do it in 6 months. I really believe that if somebody came in And they actually took everything seriously, attended all the meetings, attended all the trainings, did all the reading, did the associating. They could make six figures in their first year very easily. It's not difficult. It's just difficult if you're not doing all the things you're supposed to be doing. That's what makes it hard. Like when you were saying before about people skipping steps, I think that's what causes frustration because people are skipping steps. But if you do everything you're supposed to be doing, it's totally doable.
I agree.
So here's what I would say. You guys don't have a big ego. You do on certain things, like everybody does. When it comes to learning, you understand that ego is your enemy. And I mean that. So even with me, that's why I do things outside. I constantly read. I attend meetings. I go to seminars. I went to a seminar three weeks ago on a financial seminar. You always have to be growing. You always have to be learning. And here's the thing, though. In this business, learn what we train first. Get good at what we do if you want to do this. If you want to be in this business, there is no business that going and spending $200 on a license and all the stuff you go with, about $200 to get everything you need, it can get you to the level you guys are and the freedom you guys have. I mean, you guys are on the path for probably when you retire, not that you want lazy kids, but your kids won't have to work. They'll have such a foundation and your business will have such a foundation that if they want to kind of slide in and take over, they can. And I know I'm talking about after college and stuff, but you guys probably on the financial blueprint you guys are doing and the path you guys are on, and as you start really starting to do things like adding steps in and maybe adding a defined benefit plan, which you're going to need at some point, adding these savings plans in, like I think you guys have done at 59 and a half at the latest. But I also think that your kids might not ever have to work, and that's by the things that you guys are doing and setting up. So I'm super proud of you guys, and I appreciate you being on the call, and I think people need to listen to this call. And we're going to edit it and get it back up. But they need to listen to this call with the attitude of gratitude and that you guys are willing to train at boot camps to people that aren't in your organization, but you train with your heart. And people do that across the board in our organization. We don't hide stuff. And if I was at a training coming up and you guys were going to be at it, you know, I would be flying. Because making an investment in your future, you know, in your own business, this isn't a job. So when you miss stuff, you're hurting your own business. That's what's crazy. This is your business. You know, and the only thing that ever frustrates me is people that have the talent, but that don't have the knowledge. And people's assuming the knowledge isn't the same. Like they can assume they have the knowledge, but I see so much talent in somebody that sometimes it frustrates me because I can't get them to do the activity or can't get them to learn. And it's just because it's not that they're unwilling to learn. I think sometimes it's just ego. It's like, oh, I don't need to do that, or I can do it. And a lot of salespeople, a lot of talented people can get by to a certain level. But here's the thing. If you don't learn the right way, you can't transfer the knowledge. So just because you can go out and do 15K a week on your own with your own backbone doesn't mean that your skill set is transferable. And that's why this is such a good process, because we're teaching you how to have this transferability. And you're seeing all these young guns just go out there and kill it lately. It's because they're willing to learn, and even some older guns. So there's a policy. I actually have to call the guy because it was supposed to be written Friday, a pretty big policy. I didn't hear, so it must not be done yet. But the reality is we are in a unique opportunity, guys. This is unique time. This is like a once-in-a-lifetime time to explode your insurance business. Our products, our financial products, are better than any other product out there, period, right now. But what has been built for us and the products we have are second to none, and I'm really proud of the carriers and what we've done. And yeah, not everything's perfect with every carrier. Carriers all have little weaknesses. Don't get frustrated, you know, and learn how to kind of massage it so that your client doesn't ever get frustrated. But that's just part of the process. And know that we've got your back there. So just learn the basics like mine and Katrina did. So I really appreciate you guys being on. And
thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
And just can't be prouder than you guys. And you guys have been an amazing partner to do business with. And you guys are the most appreciative people. Like Colleen and I just really adore how appreciative you guys are. And it's great to get the text that I get from you guys. Guys, if you have somebody helping and coach you and train you, and if you're working with mining, send nice texts. If you have a big policy issue, send a text. If you get a big paycheck, send a text. It motivates people like beyond belief, just like them going to see their home and going to drive by what their dreams are, going to test drive your car. I do still do the same thing. I'd actually put money down I told you guys, like our next toy car, I put money down, which is non-refundable. We put down $10,000, which is non-refundable. So if for some reason we can't get the car, we lose the money. But that's how sure we're going to get it. I know I'm going to get there. It's not going to be an issue. As we go down this process of building other people and helping other people, you know, we have our goals too. We have things that we want. We have a different home on our dream board, just so you know, in Asheville, a different home. And we are literally at that point. Like, we have some artwork we want to get. We do the same thing. We put stuff on our thought process. And we went, just so you know, guys, Colleen and I went on Saturday afternoon and we visited like 6 art studios because there's different art we want. And the art's not cheap, guys. It's like a car. But we've picked some stuff out and it's like, those are things that we want to have. And we actually are taking the time to take a photo of the wall and we put it on the wall in the condo. And we're like, okay, this is something we want on that wall. And I know it's going to be expensive, but you know, some artwork has value, guys. So the reason we would do it too is we were hoping it would appreciate over time if we picked the right stuff. So we're spending our time and energy and buying the right artist. But we're doing that because that's on our dream board. And same thing with, we're talking about putting a pool in our house. That's on our dream board. We're talking about pools, 150 grand. So it's not a little thing to put in your dream board. I'm putting a new sound room in my house. That was on my dream board. We're moving forward with that. These are little things that you do, guys, that we even do it. So we're doing the same thing as you guys. And I can't be prouder of you. And it's amazing that you guys did the activity to get the result. Because you can have a dream board if you don't get the activity. The dream board, all it did for you guys was solidify the activity you needed to do to have the success and not go watch football or not go, out drinking one night because you didn't feel like doing it, or just you guys had a laser focus on what's best for you and your children financially. So I appreciate you guys being on the call, and we're out of time, and I'll talk to you guys later. But again, everybody, thank you for an amazing, amazing week. What a powerful conversation you guys had with us today, and appreciate you guys. You have a good week, okay?
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you.
Okay. Appreciate it. Bye, guys.
All right, bye.